another man done gone from the county, from another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers, having found you guilty, 10 years.
What? Come on,
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice, that's what you find, just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to our second hour. We come to you the first Tuesday of each month on the two-hour special live from Ben's Chili Bowl. We're on 10th and H Street Northeast, one of their five or six locations. So we're waiting for the original bin to be repaired, and it's a little behind schedule, but this should be coming soon to be open. So this is our second hour. In the second hour, we're dealing with Free Mamiya. There's a big march going on across the country about Free Mamiya and other political prisoners who are being held. And Mamiya reminds us, in January, we talked about Iman al-Jamal, H. Rap Brown, Jameen. And I have trouble with these names. But he was on our show in January. He didn't have long to live, and we talked about him showing some compassion and releasing. He died in jail 8 months later. And there are other men and women from the movement and other organizations working with the Black Panthers back in the 60s and the 70s who are still incarcerated, and they're being dogged and abused. And Mamiya, we need to do everything we can to help this brother out, because he's been on death row. He's been there over 30, 40 years. Enough is enough. And good morning, Larry. We appreciate you for being here with us this morning, Larry. Larry Ham.
Good morning, brother. I'm glad to be here with you. How are you this morning?
And I'm glad to meet you, man, because I've been reading up about you, man. You my kind of guy. You know what I mean? You've been on the front line. You've been fighting for every cause that impacts our community. And when I meet guys like that, we have an affinity, a closeness. I want to thank you for joining us this morning. And before we start, we'll do away with the grapevine this morning, to kiss you. Let's go ahead with Mac. This is very important. This march for freeing prominent Black political prisoners associated with the Philadelphia Move, and we got other men, Russell Schultz. We got a lot of folks who are still in prison that should be out. And our people are dying, and they won't let them out even when they give them a diagnosis that they have a terminal illness, as they did to H. Rat Brown, Mamiya Jamal. The same thing is happening with Mamiya. Hey, we got to get our people out of there, man. Please, whatever we can do to help get them out of there. Go ahead, Nikisha, you got it.
All right, so I'm just really thrilled to bring on board our guest for this second hour of WPFW Pacifica Radio. We're talking about none other than the phenomenal, the prolific, the revolutionary Larry Ham, who is the chairman of the People's Organization for Progress up there in New Jersey. Larry has always been the go-to person for political activism ever since his teenage year. And his organization, People's Organization for Progress, is participating in the long walk for freedom, for Mamiya, to free Mamiya Abu-Jamal and all political prisoners, including our incarcerated elders. So greetings. Welcome, Larry Ham.
Greetings. And Kichi, I'm glad to be here with you. I'm glad to be here with Brother Roach. And I have a treat for you. I'm not only here with you, I have two other marchers here with me, so they can add to the discussion and make it even more fruitful. I have Dr. Ricardo Alvarez, who is on Mumia's medical team. You may know him. You may have heard of him. And I know you know Brother Poet, Revolutionary
Baba Zaid Muhammad.
Brother Zaid Muhammad. So you got a triple threat here with you this morning. we stay by. Normally the march has already begun for the day, but we stayed behind so that we could get you know, a really rich discussion. And, you know, because when we're marching with the traffic and now it's raining and snowing up here, you know, it would have been difficult to do the that's the way I originally wanted to do the program. But with the rain and the snow and the traffic and everything, it won't be too conducive to our discussion. But yes, we are here on the fifth day of the March for Mumia to demand freedom for Mumia Abu-Jamal and all of our political prisoners, to demand an end to medical neglect of our political prisoners who are behind the walls, and to demand that Mumia receive the surgery and medical treatment that he needs to prevent blindness. I mean, he's on the verge of going blind, and the prison administration is slow walking and in some cases refusing to give Mumia the treatment that he needs. And then fourthly, and this is an important point, we're marching for all the brothers and sisters who are behind the walls, who are being treated inhumanely, who are being treated unjustly and unfairly, and who also may not be getting the medical treatment that they need. You know, there's a lot to say about this criminal injustice system, this criminal punishment system. Yes. And Mumia has not only advocated for himself, more than that, he's advocated, you know, for the other brothers and sisters who are behind prison walls. So our march started on November. And let me say this real quick. For those who may not know, I know this is an informed, conscious audience, so they probably do know. But Mumia Abu-Jamal is probably the most well-known political prisoner in the world today. He's been incarcerated for 44 years. And for all of those 44 years, people around the world, in this country, outside the country, have been demanding freedom for Mumia. He was unjustly imprisoned for a crime he did not commit. He was charged and convicted for the shooting of a police officer. We're still marching for him because we know that he is innocent, and we know that he should not be behind the prison walls. So Mumia's been in jail for 44 years, but he's been more of an advocate for us than us that have not been in jail for 44 years. Imagine this. He's written more than a dozen books, has penned more than probably several thousand commentaries. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard. Some people, when I tell them, they don't even believe he's in prison.
Yes, he's in prison. Right, he's everywhere.
We hear him on the radio all the time. How's he in prison? Yeah. So he's been a strong advocate calling for liberation, not only of Black people, but oppressed people all around the world, including our brothers and sisters who are currently being genocided by the racist apartheid regime in Israel. So
Brother Graham, before you go on, because we definitely want to hear about the medical issues that he is facing, but I know it's a 103-mile march, and I know that it's going to end up somewhere at some prison facility. Can you kind of explain that? Who else is involved? What coalitions are involved as part of the march? Right. And then we're going to get into some of the specific medical issues that Brother Mumia is facing.
Well, the organizations that have historically been fighting for justice for Mumia have been involved in this. The organizations that Brother Zaid Muhammad has been with over the years, they've been involved with this. And when Zaid talks, he can talk more about those organizations. But it's trust me when I tell you, it's a broad coalition. We wouldn't be able to go 103 miles without the help of a whole lot of other people. So we say all power to the marchers, but we say all power to the ground crew that has been feeding us and lodging us and watching out for us. Because some people down here don't like what we're doing. We're marching 103 miles from Philadelphia to Frackville, Pennsylvania. Frackville is where SCI Mahanoy prison is. That's where Mumia is incarcerated. So we're covering these 103 miles over 12 days. And now I'm gonna hand it over to Brother Zaid to talk about some of the other organizations that are involved. And then Dr. Alvarez could talk about Mamiya's medical situation.
So as Brother Zaid is coming on, I just want to let our WPFW listening audience know that this brother is the founder extraordinaire of the Malcolm X Commemoration Committee, which every year commemorates the birth of Malcolm and that pilgrimage to his gravesite every year, which I had the honor of going on, you know, this past year. So Brother Zaid and a whole lot of other things as well. So go on and talk to us, my brother.
Very, very quickly. Well, you know, Baba Herman Ferguson was our founding chair. I want to make sure that's clear to everybody. I don't want to get nobody mad. That's the ancestor, the elder that brought us together. I'm the last founding member. Now I'm the chair of the organization. The struggle around Mumia Abu-Jamal has always been a broad-based, internationally broad-based coalition. And this particular action is no different. I would highlight several elements that I think need to be lifted up and that are important to the development of these logistics that Lawrence just talked about, is that we're finally starting to get some traction inside the state of Pennsylvania itself. The media narrative around Mumia is so violently dead set against him for so many years. It has been extremely difficult to get meaningful support locally. And then let us remember also the impact, the traumatic impact of the bombing of MOVE on Philadelphia's Black community. Right. It took a long time for that community to transcend that enormous trauma that they shared together to try to begin to speak out and speak up for Mumia and for those last MOVE political prisoners that we have recently gotten out. I'm very proud to say that some of the young people who have emerged during this George Floyd summer are very much a part of this. And there are folks from all walks of life. Our ranks are getting younger, finally. Mm-hmm. Right,
yeah. Like we Pam, were once, right? We were all young once.
1990. When I snatched up Pam Africa as a security back in 1990, I was going into my 30s. Right,
yeah,
that was
you.
35 years ago.
Yeah.
Right, she's getting ready to turn 80 next year. You
Ooh.
Know, we all ain't none of my us sister. Getting younger, but we have held the line, we think, long enough for another generation to come see this particular mission to free this great freedom fighter home.
Yes, yes, indeed.
I'm going to hand it over to Dr. Alvarez and let him talk about Mumia's. Is that all right? Let him talk.
Yes, please, because the medical issues of our brothers and sisters incarcerated is so very critical. We all know that Imam Jamil Al-Amin, died as a result of the medical neglect and not being able to achieve any type of justice whatsoever. Dr. Mutulu Shakur was let out just about when he was on his deathbed. So let's hear about the specific medical issues and neglect that our dear brother Mumia Abu-Jamal is facing right now.
First, I want to just begin by just expressing my gratitude to you, to your radio station, to your audience. And I want to share with you that as Mumia's medical consultant, I've known Mumia for 30 years now. My child was in the womb the first time some 30 years ago when we went up to see him. And he's just a part of my life and my family. And I really see him as an elder teacher, a wise, spiritual, elevated being. So in this medical consultation, while we navigate the specifics of Western medicine, the harms to his body, what distinguishes Mumia from so many other prisoners is that we don't debate the harms to his body. He has suffered liver cirrhosis as a result of deliberate policies that withheld medications. They use criteria to provide life-saving medications at the point that someone was on their deathbed. That was a struggle that Mama Pam took out into the courts of public opinion and that his legal team took into the courts. And that's what we call the Mumia effect. We don't debate that Mumia was deliberately put into a diabetic coma by medical neglect, for which he would receive repeated doses of steroids, knowing that he had an elevated sugar that was not monitored. That is acknowledged. We don't debate that he had open heart surgery and suffering. Here is this peaceful, elder, wise man suffering four-point restraints. We took it to United after receiving surgery, suffering from severe skin conditions. We don't debate that. That's all documented. And that, in some ways, is why we're marching as it relates to his immediate crisis, which is his eyes. He suffers from glaucoma that is acknowledged. He suffers from diabetic retinopathy. He suffers from complications of his cataract surgery, sometimes called secondary cataracts. These treatments are multiple prongs. They include simple 5-second laser procedures. They also include adequate monitoring. Part of why we're marching is to get Mumia the treatment. This brilliant public intellectual who's written 12 books, who is a griot journalist and scholar, for which his eyes are central to his life and well-being. We march not only to demand that he receive high-quality treatment, but also we demand his immediate freedom. This is treatment in transition to freedom, because what Mumia has educated us on is that our prisons are public institutions. It is our funding that supports them. And what has emerged is a very dangerous jobs program with complicity with corporate entities that provide health care, for which the for-profit motive distorts what is the center of the healing imperative.
You know, Doc, wow. I'm glad you said what you said. This is Roach Brown.
Yes, Brother Brown.
We've been on air about 17 years dealing with this injustice issues. And one of the things that grabbed me is that Mumia and his other brothers who've been inside were like our warriors, our leaders. They spoke and risked their lives for us, and now they're in the twilight of their life. There's a law that was passed by the Supreme Court called Estelle versus Gamble, that the only people in society that has the constitutional right to free medical care are prisoners. That was ruled by the Supreme Court, and they've been ignoring this or disregarding this particular law. Whatever we can do to press this thing, because I want to see him out, man. We just lost Assata Shakur. We just lost my man, H. Rap Brown. We're losing a lot of our people who risk their lives for our betterment and our future. So we have to, and I take myself to you, Eli, to stand up for our men and women, man, who's been in there 40, 50 years. I just had a cousin did 50 come out. Sister did 15. She died within 18 months. People are dying within a year or 18 months after they're doing these 3, 4, 5 year decades inside of prison. So whatever we can do to put some pressure on getting them out, Mumia out, please stay in touch with us. We can teach you, and we'll put it on the air and see whatever we can do to stir the pot. Because this jiggy boogie got to stop, man. It ain't but some damn jiggy boogie.
That's right. That's right. And brother, in that regard, I'm going to give out, if it's okay, Brother Brown and Kichi, two phone numbers that people can call officials connected with the Department of Corrections in Pennsylvania. Is it okay to give these numbers out?
I think we can give out information, the numbers for more information, not to instruct listeners to do anything in particular, but just for general information. Let's keep it to that.
All right. So for general information, how we can help our elders who are imprisoned, Dr. Alvarez has a number that he can give out. But in the meantime, I will say this, that if people want to help Mumia, you know, it would be good for you to urge your public officials to call the Department of Corrections and urge that the brother receive the proper medical care. But Dr. Alvarez has a general number to assist our elders who need medical care.
If people are interested in understanding the public health perspective of what it means to combat politics of vengeance, to validate the safety of release of our from a public health policy trauma-informed perspective that validates their institutional distrust, they can reach out to me at 415-360-0033. And we're understanding in terms of actions that we can report institutional elder abuse as citizens, as professionals, and this is in service of a public policy of accountability to public institutions.
Yeah, so, you know, Mumia has been quoted as saying, he said that many people say it is insane to resist the system, but actually it's insane not to resist the system. That's a quote that I always like when I've heard that Mumia said. And Larry, you know, there is something that you, I, and Mumia have in common. I'm not quite sure if you know. Exactly. Well, first of all, there's a lot we got in common, but there's something very specific.
Is it our birthday? Is it our
you
birthday?
Got it.
Is it our birthday?
We were both born. We were all three born in that year. You and I at the end of that year, and he was early in that year. I don't know if I want to say what year that is.
I'm 70. I'm 71, and Mumia is 71. But I will be 72 December 24th.
You'll be 72 on December 24th.
Yes, wait a minute. I'll be 72.
Oh, okay, well, maybe y'all are a year older than me then. December 29th is mine. Okay, it appears as if Roach cannot hear us. Roach, speak so I can see if we can hear you.
We're having audio problems here.
Oh, I hear you. I hear Roach. He can't hear us.
I hear him. I hear him too.
We hear you, Roach.
Yeah, they hear
us. We hear you. So we're going to go and continue. Maybe, Roach, you can call in again, maybe. But, Larry, I know your organization, the People's Organization for Progress, is one of the coalition partners of this march. Can you tell us just a little bit briefly about POP?
You have to do it in the show because we can't.
I got it.
I'll talk to y'all later, okay. Larry. We appreciate you.
All right, Brother Brown. All right, Brother Brown.
I just want to say in closing that we need some kind of a coalition like what y'all are doing up there in Jersey, but this march to free Mumia. We need to have within the Justice Department an Office of Compassion Release for our soldiers and soldiers who've done 30, 40, 50 years and who are dying. Enough is enough, man. When somebody's in the twilight of their life, let them out. Let them die at home with their loved ones.
That's right.
To keep punishing somebody 40, 50 years is extreme cruelty. As I said it earlier, I grew up in the 50s and the 60s, and they did whatever they want to with me. They come in with no search warrant. They could knock your door down, lock you up, charge you, whatever. And they're doing the same thing to the Hispanic and Latino community. But we got to stand up for each other. What they're doing to them tomorrow morning, they're coming for us. I don't care how you look at it.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
Say, well, they're Spanish. It don't make no difference. People have certain rights, man. And we had the right to, we had all kinds of rights, man. But they just took all of them. So I want to say thank you, Abraham, and Doctor. And check out that thing about Estelle versus Gamble. If you can get one of the ACLUs, one of them other lawyers, they can file that piece, man. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Here's something.
Okay.
I had life, and I was out on furlough, and they let me off for 30 days. And that furlough extended to 4 years. I was on furlough for 4 years from prison serving life. And every warden of every institution has the power to extend the limits of confinement. The warden don't need nobody else's intervention. He can extend it for 30 days and renew it for 30 days for medical treatment. He don't have to go to anybody outside or up top. Each warden has that authority all over the country to extend the limits of confinement up to 30 days for medical, for social, for employment reasons. So that's an issue we need to be pushing. But again, the courts ain't on our side, man. I don't give a damn what law we got. If they don't want to give it to you, you don't get it.
Yeah, right. So Roach was talking about the landmark Supreme Court case that established that the Eighth Amendment's prohibition against cruel and unusual punishment requires prison officials to provide adequate medical care to prisoners. And that case was called Estelle versus Gamble. So Roach, thank you for bringing that up. But Brother Larry, I was asking about People's Organization for Progress. And I know you all deal with a lot of different issues, including police brutality mm-hmm. and the like. But tell us about some of these issues that you've been involved with that's also part of this March for MoMia.
Well, People's Organization for Progress is an all-volunteer grassroots organization. We work for social, economic justice and peace. Founded in 1982, and so we will be observing our 43rd anniversary. We observed our 43rd anniversary this past August. We're a multi-issue organization. We're not a single-issue organization. We try to deal with most of the issues that affect community, urban community, oppressed communities, working class, and poor communities. More recently, beside this march that we're on and involved in for the next, 7 days now, we 5 days in, we've been involved in a number of police brutality cases. One of those is Sister Deborah Trell, a 68-year-old grandmother in New Brunswick, New Jersey, who was killed by the New Brunswick police. Now, imagine this, a Black grandmother killed in the senior citizen building. If there's ever a place that should be safe in America, it should be where the senior citizens live. The police went into the building, went to her house. They pepper sprayed her 68-year-old grandmother, 115 pounds, pepper sprayed her, tased her, and shot her 3 times. Mm-hmm. Shot in the back, we've been told. So that we've been working with a group of brothers and sisters down there, the nephew of Deborah Terrell. Tormel Pittman, we've been working with them for justice for Deborah Terrell. On the policy side, we've been, one of our ongoing demands has been for the establishment of police review boards with subpoena power. I don't know if y'all have that in D.C., there's not one police review board in the state of New Jersey that exists that has subpoena power. In fact, New Jersey is but 9 miles from New York City. New York City has had police review board with subpoena power for 66 years. In mm-hmm. fact, they are now demanding the power to actually punish the police. They're tired of just being reviewed. They want to be disciplinary, right, too. And this is going to be one of, you know, there's been a lot of discussions about Brother Mamdani, and I supported Brother Mamdani. I don't live in New York, but I wrote an article urging people to vote for Brother Mamdani. This is going to have to be one of those issues he's going to have to deal with. You know, it's been very interesting. He held over the police commissioner from the Adams administration. You know, and that's raised some eyebrows. And now the police review board has been, even before he was elected, demanding disciplinary powers. It's going to be interesting to see how he deals with that, you know. And this is very important because
I'm looking
he
at
openly
that too.
Ran as a, you are?
No, go
okay.
on, go on.
I like
yeah,
it.
No, because I know like some people. Opinion. No, I know some people who have been appointed to his transition team and people who have some of the very same politics that we have. So all eyes on Mamdani right now. All eyes on New York. So go ahead and continue.
All eyes. That's right. So, and, you know, we've also been dealing with housing and education and health care. We've been demanding for years Medicare for all. But one of the things on a practical level that we've been doing is fighting against hospital closures. You know, they have closed, believe it or not, more than 25 hospitals in the state of New Jersey in the last 25 years, almost a hospital per year. In some cities, they've closed more than one hospital. And this is a serious problem because, yes, there should be a national movement. You know, when I ran for United States Senate, I said that I would introduce legislation, that would prevent the closure of hospitals, that would mandate that the federal government provide funding to keep hospitals open. And it became clear during COVID. I mean, what happened during COVID? We didn't have enough hospital beds. We didn't have enough space in, you know, to treat people. They were pitching tents literally outside of the hospital to treat people. And this goes to show you, even though we're the richest country in the world, we have an underdeveloped healthcare system in the United States. And, you know, the other issues we've dealt with, the issue of our history, we supported the Amistad Act, which requires now the teaching of Black history in all New Jersey public schools.
Oh, okay.
We've certainly. Oh, yeah. It's called the Amistad. You know about the Amistad, right? Well, the bill was called the Amistad Act.
Yeah. You know, I like that.
So, you know, those are some of the campaigns. But, you know, back to Mumia. Before we go back to Mumia,
and let me just say that station ID, we're listening to WPFW-FM Pacifica Radio, your station for jazz and justice. And this is Roach Brown's show, Crossroads. He's having some technical problems right now. I'm not quite sure if he can hear us. We can see him. He can. Okay, but we can't hear him. But he is very much with us as well. And I also want to let you know, when we come back on the side in just a moment, you can always call into the radio station and talk to our guests. Our current guest for this hour is Chairman Larry Ham, the chairman of the People's Organization for Progress. We've also been joined by Brother Zaid Muhammad and the medical consultant advisor, doctor for Mumia Abu-Jabbar as well. Doctor, what's his name again?
Ricardo Alvarez.
Alvarez. So you can call 202-588-0893 if you want to come in and join in with our guests. So back to you, Larry. And then I want Zaid to come on back on, if he's still there, to talk about some of the other organizations that are part of this coalition. We're all here for you. Part of this coalition of this long walk for freedom to free Mumia Abu-Jamal and all political prisoners. But again, that number is 202-588-0893. Back to you, Larry Ham.
Yes. So one of the things before we go to Mumia is I was down, you know, a lot of people don't know, and they rightly associate me with New Jersey. I was raised in New Jersey, product of Jersey public schools, but I was born in Washington, D.C.
All right.
Washington, D.C. is my birthplace. Yes.
Keep from D.C.
My mother, that's right. My mother, Teresa Burton, lived all her life. She passed away at Howard University Hospital 2 years ago.
But I understand that your mother was quite an activist here in the Washington, D.C. area. I think I heard that she was very active in
my surprise.
Elder yes. Here and all. So I know that's a story that you told, because I know that you moved to New Jersey as a little baby, as an infant, and was adopted. Yes. And when you found out about your birth mother some 40-something years later, that was a wonderful reunion.
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know if you want to say anything about it.
That she was an activist.
Yeah, you know, you got it in the blood, brother. It's in the blood.
I went into her apartment, right? She lived on K Street, right?
Yeah.
The Senior Citizen Center. As soon as I opened the door, I looked at the walls with these framed newspaper articles, you know, and photographs of her speaking at the city council. She was quoted in the Washington Post. I still have that article. Blasting the mayor. I forgot who the mayor was at that time. It wasn't Mayor Barry. It's one of them that followed Mayor Barry.
Okay.
She loved Mayor Barry. She loved Mary Barry.
Oh, we all love her.
Right. But she was blasting the mayor in the Washington Post for gentrification. Talking about D.C. was become too expensive for people to live in. Yeah. You know, so, but yes, I just wanted to say that one of my concerns, I was in D.C. recently. I attended some marches and rallies there about the military occupation in
Washington. Actually, you organized a bus trip journey. I know what's going on. I keep having a bus trip from New Jersey to Washington, D.C. to protest this military occupation of our city and other issues. So, yeah, go on, Kat. I didn't mean to interrupt, but, expiring.
That's right. And, I was sorry to hear, because we thought they set a date to pull out the troops. And now, since that shooting the other day, Trump said he's going to send 500 more troops. But I want to say to whoever is organizing against the military occupation in D.C., we stand ready to support you. We marched against these troops in Washington months ago, and we'll march again, because it's outrageous. What can you call this except military dictatorship? Yeah. It's really serious. But you had said you wanted to talk to Brother Zaid about the Mumia situation again.
Yeah, mainly about other organizations besides the People's Organization for Progress and the Malcolm X Commemoration Committee that are involved in this long walk for freedom for Mumia Abu-Jamal and other political prisoners. So, Zaid, who else is involved with all this?
The fight to save Mumia has always been an international coalition built effort. And this particular action is no different. I would like to highlight and emphasize that it's been heartwarming to those of us who are long distance runners in this work, is that we are starting to get an infusion of working hands-on solidarity from younger activists, right? We're starting to see young people who turned this country inside out with our largest protest season. That was the George Floyd summer. Philadelphia had its share of young people who turned that out. And they're not just the kids in our neighborhoods. They're from all those, and their friends, right? So the Mumia's call for freedom has always attracted people from all walks of life, black, brown, and white, right? All ages, and then literally all over the world. That principle is still here. But more than that, just to this particular march, we're also seeing young people from other parts of the state that have gotten engaged. I have to say this, and I'm saying this with very guardedly, as we started the march, we even got some mainstream media coverage that was very different from what we almost always gotten. And what we've always got is cop killer, mommy Abu-Jamal, and da da da, right? And all of the divisive, racist, non-factual stuff that has kept people away from the supporting Mumia in the Philadelphia area and in the state of Pennsylvania. We're hoping that this is a beginning of a breakdown and a breakthrough of a paradigm shift on the propaganda front that begins to change that diet. So time will tell, but we put one mile after the other, day after day, little by little, we're pushing forward.
So, you talked about young people, and, Mumia himself was young. He was a young person involved with the Black Panther Party. He was a young person with the National Association of Black Journalists. He was a young person when he went. Him himself was a young person. Actually, he was the youngest delegate at the Gary Convention, the National Black Political Convention that was in Gary, Indiana in 1972, I think it was. He was the youngest member. 72, I got it right. I was in high school, I wanted to go. But anyway, Larry was also the youngest at age 17. I still don't know. As an elected official of the New Jersey State School Board.
Newark Board of Education.
Okay, one of those, whatever. You was an official school board member at age 17. Right. So when we talk about young people, this movement, the whole movements are really built on young people. And as we grow into elderhood, it's important for that next generation, as Brother Zaid, you said, came up during that George Floyd summer, to go in and take the reins and continue the struggle. Roach, I'm not sure if you were trying to say something. I don't know if we can hear you yet or not. I see your mouth moving.
How big is the march? How many people participating? Because, again, we need this all over the country, man. Because once we get finished with Mamiya, there's the next one. They got Russell Shirt. We got people still inside of the prison. You got some of the Mughal people. We got people been there 40, 50 years. We got to get our folk out of there. So we had that Million Man March.
That's right.
What the hell is going? Would it take for all of us and the Spanish to get together? Because we're being dulled, man. There ain't no law. The Supreme Court saying the hell with you. They can do whatever they want. They can lock you up, bang your window out because you're black or brown or Spanish. This is the same stuff we went through back in the Jim Crow days, man. They bring a Jim Crow back, and that's called Jim Buzzard. This is Jim Buzzard they doing.
That's right.
So we need to
and
do
so
something.
And so after you respond, like Larry, we have a caller that's on the line. But go on and respond to Brother Roach's question.
No, I think Brother Brown is correct. I think you are correct, Nkechi and Brother Zaid. We got to involve the youth. Now, you know, there's involving the youth and there's involving the youth. You know, one thing is we got to build organizations that can draw the youth in and hold them in, you know, hold their interests or, you know, support the work that the youth themselves are doing. And we got to raise the issues that are important to young people, you know. And they got a lot of issues. I mean, their whole futures. Sometimes I cry. You know, I have children and grandchildren, and sometimes I cry for the young people of today. I mean, did I have it rough coming up? Yes, I have it rough. But I'm not facing some of the challenges our young people are facing today. When I graduated from college, from undergraduate school, which was what 48 years ago, 40 some odd years ago, I didn't have $50,000 in loans. I didn't have $100,000 in loan. I mean, what are the prospects for your life if you start out on your career with $100,000? One of my daughters right now, because she went to graduate school too, she had $200,000 in student loans. That's madness. That should be an issue that all of us are talking about. Free college, abolition of student loans, jobs for young people. A lot of these young people are having a hard time getting into the job market. You know, a lot of us talking about the people who are being fired. A lot of our young people with college degrees are having a hard time getting into the job market. So there are a lot of issues that young people have that we have to raise if we want to get them interested and involved in our movement.
So we got a caller on the line. Caller, let us know who you are, where you're calling from, and what's your question for our guests, Larry Ham or Zaid Muhammad or Dr. Alvarez?
I have a question. Listen, George Walker, third Vietnam veteran. Listen, I'm going to ask a question. I got a question and a statement. January the 6th, when they some people tore up the White Capitol, right? Then they got locked up, and Trump knew what was going on. Did an officer get killed in that? Didn't somebody lose their life when the officers up? Was it the city policeman, or was it a White House police, some officer, I think, got killed in that commotion, didn't it?
Yes. I think five people got shot. Lives were lost as a result of that.
Somebody got shot. Now, I'm saying now, this is talking about Romeo. Suppose they had shot this policeman, and he's been 44 years, but he said he didn't do it. And he's still there. But here's some sure, and all the people that Trump exonerated out of jail through 2000, somebody shot that policeman now in that crowd. Now they all put all them back in the jail. Put
yeah,
all them
the
back
audio
in jail.
Is really bad.
Sarah?
Yeah, the audio is. Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, so please, can you silence your radio? I think that's what the interference is. Turn off or turn down your radio so we can hear your question or comment a little bit better. I know you were talking about the January 6th insurrection, okay? And I don't know if you mentioned, but, you know, folk were pardoned by President Trump after that and let out of prison and jail.
1,500 people, right? 1,500 people were pardoned. Like a small army of people were pardoned.
No, so, Carla, are you still on the line?
Did an officer lose his life in there? Officer lose his life?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, that came out of that crowd. Now, nobody has stood up. Nobody has paid for that. They overtake all them when they let out, put them back in there until the right person steps up and say he did it. Now you got this man in jail 44 years, but he did not do anything. He did not. I mean, he did not shoot this officer. So that's what they say.
That's why we launched.
Racist system we're dealing with. Now, somebody that officer got killed down there at January the 6th, okay? So 1,500 people, somebody in there did. Until they get the right one, put them all back in there. That's what I feel about it. I'm not about it.
So, at Himu Chuma, what do you think about that?
I'm sorry, Adimu Chunga. No, what he said.
That's your African name. I see. Y'all don't know.
My African name. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Go on.
Amiri Baraka gave me that name. Who I met and became associated with in 1971. And you know, it's funny. Maybe I ran into Mamiya and didn't know it, but I was at Gary too. I was at the Gary National Black Political Convention. I was the youngest elected delegate to Gary.
No, I know. I was saying you, not Mamiya. I don't know if Mamiya was there. I was saying Larry M. was there at age 17 and age 18 in Gary, Indiana. No, I was talking about
no. Two years ago,
viewed you on this radio station. Human rights and justice. I got all my little tidbits.
All right. No.
Oh, I don't know this from then, but I understand that you're an athlete, a marathon runner. Is this one of the reasons why you are up in the lead of this long march? You are a marathon athlete, triathlon, whatever it's called.
No, I never ran a triathlon. I did run four marathons. I have run marathons. Whoa, yes. No.
Okay.
But now I'm just with everybody else on this 100-mile march. No, we out here now. We on the fifth day of the march. We are about 35 to 40 miles in. And it's snowing here in Pennsylvania where we're at. Wow. And, you know, I think the second day it rained and we had to march 9 miles in the rain. It's not easy. You know, what I thought about the other day, I thought about Dick Gregory. And I remember all these marches that Dick Gregory used to go on and runs. He'd run across America, you know, 3,000 miles.
Right.
Now I have a greater appreciation for it. You know, but it's so important that brothers and sisters support Brother Mumia Abu-Jamal, you know, and all of our political prisoners. And I was, you know, like Brother Zaid, I was aggrieved when I heard that Brother Imam Jamil Al-Amin had passed, you know, and it's heartbreaking because these brothers gave so much for us. You know, when we say political prisoners, that's real. They were in a political movement. Yes. They were repressed
and
targeted by the state because they were standing up for Black people. This is what Brother Brown was saying earlier.
Yes.
They were standing up for us. They were fighting for us. And that's why they were in prison. And for many years, you know, many of them were abandoned in prison. But fortunately, because efforts like Brother Zaid Muhammad and others who fought for our political prisoners, you know, they brought back to light, you know. We're marching for Mumia. We want freedom for Mumia Abu-Jamal, freedom for all political prisoners. We want an end to the medical neglect. They're trying to kill. You know, there's this thing, you know, they don't give you a death sentence, but they kill you by medical neglect.
Yes.
You know,
death
if they don't
by
give
incarceration.
You the,
yeah.
Right. If they don't give you the treatment you need and you're faced with a life-threatening situation, that's a death sentence. Yeah. That's a type of a death sentence. And that's what they've been trying to do to Mumia. That's what they were trying to do to Imam Jamil Al-Amin because they did it to him. He had serious health challenges. I think he had cancer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I mean, This carceral system that we have in this country has to be changed from top to bottom. It's really slavery in another form. It's slavery in disguise. I mean, and that's
it's not even in disguise, my brother. The second clause of the 13th Amendment, accept as punishment of a crime, slavery.
That's right. And they availing themselves of slave labor. They're paying people pennies on the hour. to work in these prisons. And people are working for like Fortune 500 corporations. They're not just out there building railroads like in the 19th century. They're out there working. They're doing telemarketing for some of these companies, you know, and not being compensated for it. It's awful what's going on. But we want freedom for Mumia. We want freedom for all our political prisoners. We want to end medical neglect. We want them to get the surgery. Mumia needs surgery on his eyes. We want them to get the medical treatment. Doctor, did you want to say something about his the medical problem he's having with his eyes, that Mumia's having with his eyes?
Yes, as I shared, he has a combination of conditions which include the glaucoma, the underlying diabetic retinopathy, as well as the complications of his surgery. And we want to make clear that it's not just the 5-second laser procedure, which is necessary. He had it in one eye. He now needs it in the other eye. But it is also the highest standard of care, which he deserved. Now, I want to say that we have consulted an ophthalmologist who is a professor of ophthalmology and has experience in the Pennsylvania prison system. And when posed with the question by the legal team, what would you do after reviewing these records? What would you do in terms of his management and care? And if he came to your office on a Friday, the statement was, I would have him seen on Monday. We're now months and months out. Now, I want to say something else that Mumia continuously reminds us of. When we have a refrain that says, the only treatment is freedom, it is not possible to give medical care that is adequate in prison settings. It's contradictory. It's an enormous cost to the public. It is a public institution, and there is compelling evidence, robust data across multiple lines that our elders are safe for release. They age out of crime. Yeah. Now, let us be clear. Mumia is innocent.
Yeah, first of all, we got to get ready to close down. But I really like that quote that you said, the only treatment is freedom. The only treatment is freedom. I think we're going to just get ready to close on that. I just want to thank you, Larry Ham, from People's Organization for Progress, for all of the work that you're doing. Thank Brother Zaid Muhammad with the Malcolm X Commemoration Committee. Thank and thank you, my dear Dr. Alvarez, for all of the medical work that you're doing. On behalf of Roach Brown and Martine Brown of Crossroads, this is Nikichi Taifa, WPFW Pacifica Radio. Again, the long walk for freedom for Mumia Abu-Jamal. I just found out that I have 3 more minutes. I was trying to make sure.
Well, I want to give some closing remarks. Right. I want to thank you and Kichi for the work that you have done on reparations. Work that you have done on reparations inspires us. The one I mean, you got it right there on the wall, right? I mentioned all these other issues. She got reparations.
Oh no, I know y'all deal with reparations. I know.
Yes, we support.
Say the word.
We support the struggle for reparations. I met Queen Mother Moore at the Gary Convention.
Yes, in 1972. She was there.
That's right. I was in the hallway. That's where I met her. She was handing out leaflets.
I know she
on
was.
Reparations. In the
and you know, there's a new biography out on her.
That's right.
Dr. Ashley Farmer.
That's right. That's right. So thank you for all your work that you've done. And we support reparations 100%. And we're working hard to get reparations bill passed in New Jersey.
Yes, indeed. Say the word. Roach, I don't know if you're able to I don't know if we can hear you say any closing words.
Listening,
nice and loud.
We've been listening, but you can't hear us. Thank you, Nikichi. Thank you, Larry Ham, and all the guests. We appreciate y'all. And believe this, you'll be coming back, brother, because I like your fire, your spirit, and you're doing the things that we're doing down here. Thank you. And please,
all right.
keep the pressure on these
jury buggers.
Yes, sir.
Keep the pressure on these jury buggers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And is there anything that people can do who are not on the march right now? Like, I'm right here in D.C. I'm not on the march. I'm marching in spirit, I guess you could say. Yeah, but in terms of, you know, supporting the effort.
Well, they can call if they want to support us on the ground as we march through Pennsylvania. They can call the March for Mamiya Coalition at 862-240-6589, 862-240-6589. And if they want more information about Mamiya, they can call Department of Corrections at 570-773-2158.
Okay, thank you so much. And I know you are going to be sending your list of demands when you end up at the last point of the stop, which is at the prison or jail or whatever.
That's
it
right.
is. And I hope that they rule on those demands. And I hope they rule with that quote that Dr. Alvarez said, the only treatment is what? Is freedom.
Freedom.
So with that, freedom. With that, this has been Crossroads with your host, Roach Brown, Martine Brown, and co-host, Nkechi Taifa. Thank you again to our guests, Larry Ham, Zahi Muhammad, and Dr. Alvarez. Peace.
Thank you.
The WPFW Local Station Board is hosting a community town hall on Saturday, December 13th from 12 noon until 3 p.m. Our theme is Free Airwaves, Fighting for Community and Public Radio. With the economic upheaval caused by DOGE, the social stress exacerbated by the military occupation of the Capitol, and the harm inflicted on innocent people by ICE agents, it is more important than ever to have an independent grassroots media focused on building communities, amplifying marginalized voices, and driving social movements. The town hall takes place on Saturday, December 13th from 12 noon until 3 p.m., at the Brookland Busboys and Poets, 625 Monroe Street, Northeast in the District. Additional information can be found online at wpfwfm.org. WPFW, building community one broadcast at a time.
This Giving Tuesday, we are asking you once again to stand with WPFW. Your support this past year helped keep independent music, progressive voices, and community journalism on the air at a time when it matters more than ever. WPFW is member supported. There are no corporate owners here, no partnership with any university, just you, the people, making this station possible. If WPFW informs you, uplifts you, or accompanies you throughout your day, please consider making a gift right now. Every contribution, large or small, helps sustain this vital community resource. Support WPFW this Giving Tuesday. Visit wpfwfm.org and give today.
Y'all, I am Jaren with Dreaming Out Loud.
And I'm Ron Motz with the Go-Go Museum and Cafe. This holiday season, Historic Anacostia is bringing joy from December the 11th through the 22nd.
A celebration filled with daily surprises along Marion Barry and MLK Jr. Avenue Southeast. Christmas tree lighting, live concerts at the Go-Go Museum, and holiday meals and deals from your favorite Anacostia businesses.
12 days of festive family fun as you dine, shop, and explore DC's Arts and Culture District. Powered by the Anacostia Bid, artsagogo.org. For more information.
On Monday, December 8th, WPFW presents Saving Our Homes, the Crisis in Housing and Homeownership, in partnership with the Washington Informer and the Missionary Baptist Minister Conference of the DMV. From 9 a.m. until 1 p.m., we confront gentrification, predatory buyers, tax sales, foreclosure traps, and the loss of family homes, defending our elders and keeping generational wealth in our families. The programming continues at 5 p.m. where we'll unpack the lack of affordable housing and the displacement of renters. We culminate in a town hall from 6 to 8 p.m. moderated by Donald Temple and Denise Rolock Barnes, where we welcome listeners' calls. Guests include lawyers, activists, pastors, financial strategists, and government officials. That's Saving Our Homes, the Crisis in Housing and Home Ownership, December 8th on WPFW, building a more equitable world, one broadcast at a time.
inviting all D.C. hand dancers, Philly boppers, Chicago steppers, Carolina shaggers, and West Coast swingers. The Treehouse Dreamers venue offers dance music from Motown and more every Friday, 1 to 5 p.m. at 4722 14th Street Northwest. DJ Jammin' Dave and other fine DJs provide an atmosphere offering seniors socialization while getting much-needed quality movement through familiar tunes and dance every Friday. Details at 301-922-4064. That's 301-922-4064. WPFW offering wellness through dance, one activity at a time.
If you're a dancer or just a fan, the Way You Move Festival's coming to Washington, D.C. with jams, competitions, and classes. December 13th through the 16th. Whether you're into hip-hop, house, breaking, popping, or locking, we've got you covered with top-notch Small Fries Edition, all-styles dance jam and competition for youth ages 17 and under on the 13th at Edgewood Arts Center. Freshest of all time, 2-verse-2 breaking battle, ages 18 and up, also on the 13th at the Black Cat. The world-famous Juice DeBoo 2-verse-2 competition, DC prelims, on the 14th at The Reach. And masterclasses with international